Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Living Hope. We are glad that you're here. We like to start our services with this greeting Christians have been using, I think, forever. The Lord be with you. Thanks. I think one reason that Christians like saying that kind of thing to each other is because we just need reminded sometimes that the Lord is with us, that when we gather together to worship him, or even when we're watching online, like some of you are this morning, that he really does meet us right where we are, that he comes to us right in the middle of, well, I don't know what you've got going on today. If this is a great day for you and you're just full of thanks, or if today is rough and you are just desperate to know if there's some hope in this world, he meets us right where we live. And so I would love for us to pray to him right there and tell God the truth this morning as we begin. Thank you, God. Thank you for meeting us here, right in the reality that we're living in. And you know, God, that for some of us, we are just excited to sing to you and pray to you and thank you for all the good things that you brought into our lives. Some of us, God, we're coming today hoping to find something to thank you for. We're coming kind of desperate to know that maybe you are there and that you love us and that you can help us with the stuff that we're dealing with. God, you know we're all over the map today, but we've decided for the next hour to center our hearts and our thoughts on you. So would you help us to do that? By your Holy Spirit that's gathered us to worship, would you help us to listen for your voice as we look at scriptures together? Would you help us to have an honest conversation with you as we sing to you and pray to you? Would you help us to be aware of your grace and your presence as we gather around your table? Just use everything we do, God, to help us to connect with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing as we begin.
Yeah. Come alive, dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive, dead things come alive, dead things come alive in the name of. I call you Jesus, I call you, I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something come out. Same old lies. You've been trying to find the same old hole inside. There's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. The pain lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
Amen. Amen. I invite you to pray with me, will you? Lord, we are so thankful that you are a God who makes a way through things that we can never see our way through. Lord, circumstances and situations that seem impossible from where we sit, from where we stand, Lord, and yet you do some amazing and mighty things, things that we could never ask or imagine to ask for. And yet, Lord, you are moving and you are working. And we thank you, Lord, for the incredible answer to prayer that you've brought within our community. And for one of our own, Lord, for that son that was lost and was found. Lord, it makes the story of the prodigal and the lost sheep so much more real. We thank you, Lord, for other answers to prayer that you have brought in our lives. Small things may be compared to that, and yet, Lord, you care so much for even those small things that you hear us and you answer us. Lord, I also think of a friend of mine who's gotten bad news about his mom. And Lord, I know that he is falling down before you, pleading on her behalf for her health, for a miracle from you. Lord, for healing for his mom, for you to show yourself mighty in her life so that she in turn will know who you are and what you can do and what you desire to do for your people, to understand what it is to know answered prayer. Lord, I know that somewhere in from the greatest victory to the worst circumstance, we all find ourselves falling in one of those categories and somewhere in between today. So we thank you, Lord, that in every circumstance, no matter where in that line, in that spectrum we find ourselves, Lord, you're there already. You've not left us and you've not abandoned us. You don't leave us alone to our own devices, trying to figure it out on our own. Lord, you are working and you are doing, even when we can't see it. You are making a way in the desert, a way in those rough places. You're making a way for us, regardless of what that looks like. God, how can we ever thank you enough for that? How can we ever give you enough glory and enough honor and enough praise, Lord, just for who you are, let alone the things that you do? So this morning, Lord, we are going to do our best to lift up your name, to honor you, Lord, to glorify you. As we, Lord, are mindful of the things that you have done, great things, Lord, small things. You are in it all. And for all of this, Lord, we want to ask that you would be with the rest of this service, that you would be with Pastor Rich, that you would be with all of the things that are said, spoken, and shared this morning, Lord, that your voice would be heard above all the other stuff, Lord, that we would hear from you. Give us ears to hear and hearts to listen. And we pray these things all in your name as we give you honor and glory and praise this morning. Amen. Amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you very much, and take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
Okay, just a quick word to those of you joining us online while everybody in the room is finishing up their conversations. We are glad that you're here. If I haven't met you, my name is Rich Schmidt, one of the pastors here, and we are glad that you're joining us virtually today. If there's some way we can be praying for you, thanking God with you, we would love for you to let us know. And this goes for all of us, not just those guys. But there's a couple ways you can do that. You could use this link that's on the screen, livinghope.info/connect. Or if you're in the room, you can just grab one of those little green cards back there and drop it in the offering box after you jot your note on it, whether it's a question or a prayer need, or maybe you're thanking God for something, whatever that might be. That'd be great. We'd love to join you in that. If you're giving today, you can do that there as well. You can give online. You can scan the little code. All the different ways that you can give. Thank you for giving. And thank you for being a church that wants to give back to the community. That's a good, good thing. I know we've got a couple of new things coming up this week one brand new thing is happening tomorrow night. If you got one of these when you came in, you'll see on the back, mentioned this pierogi pop-up. I don't know how many of you are aware, there are some free meals given away every week here in town. Hilltop Neighborhood House does a free meal. They do actually some free, like, to-go like sack lunch type things every night. There's another church in town, St. T's, that does Cafe Manna and once a week. And for the last few months, there's been a group called Feed the Region. It's giving away free scratch-made vegetarian meals, I think, to go. Out of Nana Claire's Kitchen, just up Calumet from us a ways. Calumet's that way. Just up Calumet a ways. And out of Nana Claire's Kitchen Thursday nights, just free meals. And her vision is to do this all over the region, not just here in Valparaiso, but she's starting here. And her name is Chef Steph. And one way that she is able to give away meals is she also has these little pierogi pop-ups where she makes pierogies and sells them, and then all the proceeds from that go to buy the food and make the food for the free meal. So we are beginning a partnership where she's going to do some of those at our church, it looks like. That's what we're going to try. We're going to try one of those tomorrow night. So if you love pierogies, it's a little to-go kind of a thing. You come in and get them, and you take them home to pop them in your oven and make them and eat them later. They'll be frozen when you get them. They have free samples. So anyway, tomorrow night at 5 o'clock until 8 or whenever they sell out. There was one time they were doing them, and I showed up at like 7:45. She was doing one out of Nana Claire's Kitchen, and it was just dark. It was closed up. And I'm looking on Facebook. I'm like, what happened? Did I get the wrong night? And sure enough, they had sold out like half an hour earlier. So I missed out on my pierogies that night. So if you want to support that, it supports the free meals being given out on Thursday nights to anybody who needs them. And if you want to learn more, there's a couple of posters out there. You can go to feedtheregion.org and learn more about that work that she's been doing. And then Tuesday, some of you have been waiting for the next Tudor Taco Tuesday. It's just another fun thing that we get to host where James Tudor and his crew come in, and they make tacos and for your suggested $10 donation for a plate and gives it to some charity in town, some nonprofit. This month it's the Catholic Charities. And so if you want to come Tuesday and have some tacos and drop a donation in the jar, you can. And then this Saturday, there's a group, Yahweh's Army, that's going to be here doing a free meal and worship and encouragement at 12:30. So if you know somebody that could use that, this Saturday you could bring them right here at 12:30. And then next week we've got a Joyful Noise service, and I think the week after that, at the end of the month, there's a free concert that donations accepted that benefits Daybreak and Respite House and all of that. There's a poster out there on the wall. but anyway, lots of good stuff going on in our community and ways that we can be a part of it. Yeah, did you have something you wanted to? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Right. Cool. Yeah. I'm going to echo that for the people who couldn't hear you. So if you couldn't hear Debbie just now, she was referring to the God's Garden Valpo group that's here on Sunday afternoons at 4. They give away food right here as well. They started out doing it in the parking lot, and maybe they still do sometimes, but I know a lot of times they use this classroom right over here and give out food that often food that they've rescued, food that a restaurant or someplace was just going to have to throw away, and they grab it and throw it in their freezer, and then they give it away on Sunday afternoon. And so if you know someone that needs a free meal, and they don't just... free food. They don't just say, okay, open the doors and like, come get your food. They stop, they pray for each other, they hear, they're just kind of a little community being formed around the people who come out for those resources on Sunday afternoon. So, yeah, thanks for making sure that people knew that was happening too. Yeah, there's a lot of other stuff that goes on around here. Like, for the last few weeks and up until the end of next month,
the group that is preparing for the Awakening Weekend. We talk about the Great Banquet from time to time here. Missy's very involved with it. Mitch is very involved with it. And the Awakening Weekend is the Great Banquet for teenagers. And so the group that is preparing for that, they're here every Tuesday night. Like, they use the whole building. This place is packed out with teens and adults and people that are preparing for that weekend that's coming later in, is it October, I think, to make sure that the teenagers that go to that weekend have an encounter with God and with God's people that is life-changing. So, yeah. Are you about to add something? Okay, come on up.
All right. Speaking of Awakening, it is, you can sign up now. So if you're a teen, or you know a teen, freshman in high school to freshman in college that wants to go have a weekend away, or you want them to have a weekend away, but really they're gonna have an encounter with Jesus that'll change their life. Some kids just get told they're going camping, but that's actually what happens. But also, unfortunately for the adults, the women's banquet is closed right now because there's just an overwhelming amount of registrations. But once it opens again, I can let you know. Men, they're taking registrations right now, so if you are a man and want to come experience Jesus on a deeper level, kind of your relationship with Jesus and also your place in the world and how you're called to serve, things like that, I would highly encourage you to talk to Mitch or me or Courtney, or there's quite a few people in the room that can get you signed up. There's another weekend called Coney. It's Kairos of Northern Indiana. It's a similar weekend, but it's not the same, and it's for women who have been impacted in some way by incarceration, whether it's their own incarceration, an incarceration of a family member, things like that. And that's another like really special weekend away. It's a little bit farther. I think it's out in Warsaw, but Courtney and I are going as guests this time, so if you want to go with some cool people, let me know. We can get you signed up there too. And all of these are free. It's no cost for anything.
Thanks. Thanks for making sure we knew about that. Yeah. And by the way, as you see her coming up and down, keep praying for her healing of that the ankle and the tendons that are going on in there. Hey, before we dive into the rest of the service, I would love for us just to bow our heads again and pray one more time. God, we are thankful for the ways that you show up in our lives, the ways that you show up not just for our good, but you show up in our lives so that we can be a blessing to others, providing meals or providing care, helping, creating weekends where people have an encounter with you. God, we are grateful for all the different ways that you invite us to be involved in your good work. And we are thankful that we have moments like this where we get to quiet our hearts to hear your voice speaking through the scriptures, through the stories of the ways you've been at work in our lives. Our God, I pray that today you would help us to hear your voice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we are in this, this little series, The Greatest of These, that comes from this verse in 1 Corinthians 13, I just put in your notes again from last week, where he's been talking about love, the Apostle Paul has, and at the end he says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. He says, love is the most important thing, and it's the thing that will last forever. It's the thing that will never, love never fails. It's the thing that motivated God to give us his son Jesus, you know, John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. And it's how we know what love is, what God has done for us in Jesus, that Christ laid down his life for us. Jesus said to his disciples, look, as the Father loved me, I've loved you. And then he gives his disciples this command, as I've loved you, now you go love each other. You need to love each other like I have loved you. We talked about that last week and got into that. And today is the second Sunday of the month. And we started a thing a couple months ago, Second Sunday Stories, because we realized that every now and then we were inviting, you know, people were sharing stories, sharing testimonies when something dramatic had happened. Like I can remember, Dave, when you had that car accident and you felt like God just saved your life. You know, we got Dave up here and he shared how God saw him through that car accident and, you know, preserved his life through all of that. So these things kind of pop up every now and then, but we're not a church that like meets like Sunday morning, Sunday night, you know, all these different times where I can remember growing up, there were moments where just like testimony night, you know, and it's all kinds of people were sharing their stories. We thought, well, we don't have that, so we got to do something to make sure that we hear the stories of the ways that God has been at work in all of our lives. So we thought, okay, second Sunday of the month, we'll invite someone up to share for part of the message time. And so we got to hear from Courtney last month. We got to hear from John Gasper the month before that. And everybody's story is a little different, right? Obviously, God's been at work in our lives in different ways. And the way that we tell those stories are different. In my mind, I'd kind of pictured, oh, okay, so somebody can share, like, you know, for like half the message time, maybe 15 minutes, and I'll do like a little message that connects with it somehow and whatever. Well, this month is Mitch Peters. He's going to be sharing his story with us. And he's prepared. He had typed it all up. He'd prepared it all. And when he sent it to me, he said, now, just so you know, it's about 25 to 30 minutes. And he said, I could cut it way back, or you could just, like, pray and do communion at the end. And I read it, and I thought, okay, Mitch, no, let's just hear the story the way you already wrote it. So yeah, we get to hear Mitch share some of his story. Come on up, Mitch. Some of you know Mitch. He's been a part of our church now for several years. I'm not sure how many years. And is currently serving on our board and is doing all kinds of great things in the community. But I'm excited for you to hear some of Mitch's story today.
Thank you.
Oh, I want to thank Pastor Rich for asking me and for the board for letting me. So this is my story. It was the spring of 1988, and I was homeless, laying on the floor of an abandoned building, surrounded by the filth and desecration of my addiction, recently stabbed for the fourth time in my life. At the age of 31, I was just beginning to come to terms with the reality of what my life looked like. And a vision came to me that dark night, and I realized that if I didn't make some drastic changes in my life, that I was not going to survive, that I was never going to see my six-year-old son again, I was never going to make it back to Indiana. The Holy Spirit touched my heart on that dark and desperate night, and it changed my life forever. It's always been amazing to me how in those desperate times of our lives, we search for answers and solutions as to where we went wrong and what we can do to change our lives. We search, faced with life and death circumstance, during extreme illness, incarceration, failed relationships, or any emotional or spiritual collapse, we invariably find ourselves turning to God for answers we so desperately seek. Perhaps that is what brought you here, a search for God, a better understanding of our Lord Jesus and how he works in our lives. I came to Christ in desperation because in spite of the changes God wrought in my life in 1988, I failed to appreciate the significance of that moment. I failed to make God a priority or have any recognition of God. Once he provided me the relief that I sought, I did not even consider God in that moment or the significance of his love and grace. Maybe that's your story. Maybe that's familiar to you. I've sinned, suffered the consequences over and over again of my actions, finding myself desperate and alone at times, suicidal, in extreme emotional pain. And yet, through it all, God still seeks a relationship with me. He still seeks me out, the one. It's essential for me personally to recognize that what I think is important, what I perceive the reality of my existence to be in any given moment, may or may not be true. And no matter what I believe, People do what they do for their own reasons. And I may not know or understand why. And it may have nothing to do with me. And the funny thing is, God works in the same way. He has his own plan, as he told us in Joshua. While I may think that I discern his reasoning, God's reality may be entirely different than my limited perception. I may believe that I'm in a perfectly stable relationship. I may believe that my use of drugs is acceptable behavior, only to find myself desperately addicted, homeless, hopelessly alone. I may believe that all of the activities in my life, hunting, work, archery, golf, softball, surgeries now, motorcycles, or saving the world one addict at a time are the most important things in my life. And that's just not true. Neglecting God, my family, or myself to the point where I find myself in critical failure and chaos. Yet those relationships, activities, and behaviors were the priorities in my life at times, taking precedence and importance over everything, including any relationship with God. So it was equally important to recognize that what I think is important will change as I reflect, progress, and mature in this Christian process. My own life beginning as a child is an example of misguided priorities. We lived like gypsies. My mother was a single parent and an addict. We moved a lot. From the fourth to the ninth grade, I was in six different schools in 6 years, in three different states, in three different family groups. That's dysfunctional. How am I going to connect with anything? We lived a dysfunctional and secret lifestyle. I never really felt comfortable or loved by anyone. And the consequence was I became antisocial. I hung out with the wrong crowd, learned the wrong life skills. My generation is the reason we have locking ignitions. Turned to drugs, violence, and crime as a way of life, and abandoned my brief exposure to a Christian life that I may have received through my grandparents as a child. I mean, I was baptized, I was confirmed in the church, I sang in the choir, I did all of that as a child. I engaged in my first burglaries at 7 or 8. I remember when I burglarized the local gas station, I had to climb up on the counter to reach what it was I thought that I needed in that instance. I wasn't even big enough to get up there. I became addicted to drugs at a young age, first injecting drugs at the age of 15. I used on a daily basis, seeking to change my life circumstance, to cope with what my life looked like. Living in addiction, domestic violence, it was not pleasant. Addiction became my way of life, my priority, and escaping my reality. I was lost, abandoned, fearful, ashamed, all of the negative thoughts and behaviors, which just led to more drugs, violence, and crime. Expelled from school in the ninth grade, well, at 16, I left home and hitchhiked to Florida. And I came back to give school one more chance. And I lasted a couple weeks. So early in the ninth grade, I was out. I was in trouble with the law, seriously addicted. So, it was Vietnam. The day I turned 17, I joined the Navy. And back then, you did not need a high school diploma. but it was just another pattern of escape and survival, always seeking something that eluded me. I got my GED in the Navy, completed my active duty, transferred to the reserves. Then I went to college and law school on the GI Bill, married, divorced, kids, went to jail a few times, not for the first time, continued to use drugs and alcohol, entered the first of four treatment centers, inpatient treatment centers, all from 1976 to 1986. All of these events failed to cause a shift in my priorities, and nothing changed because nothing changed. I hadn't returned to God. There's nothing attractive about living under a bridge, eating out of a dumpster, repeatedly being incarcerated, or living the lifestyle of addiction. Yet that's who I became, a homeless, hopeless addict living on the streets of Miami, at times washing dishes for $20 a day and a couple meals, with a law degree and a drug habit. And I was happy for the work. Things began to shift when I laid on that floor dying in 1988. God truly intervened, and looking back in my life, I can see multiple times throughout it where God was there intervening in every instance. He had plans for me. In that moment of clarity, he began to change within me, and although it took some decades to come to fruition, I ultimately arrived here. Found what I was always seeking, a new direction in life. To some degree, personal transformation, the personal change necessary to discover Christ, requires an urgent need born of hopeless desperation, at least in my case. I had strayed from Christ and only called on God when life's circumstance became dire and fearful. Self-examination revealed the instances where his grace and forgiveness saved my life and preserved my mind. I never realized the necessity of having Jesus in my life in order to effectuate substantial and lasting change. How ironic is it that when we believe everyone has abandoned us, family, friends, everyone, and the only one left who loves us unconditionally is God, who has bestowed upon us grace and redemption, we so readily blame that loving God for the consequences of our own life choices and circumstance. We don't accept any personal responsibility, we just blame God. I think we'll skip a little of this. God never abandoned me. He waited lovingly and patiently to bring me back where I belong. I'm humbled by the fact that God's disciples never gave up on me. And I realize today, God's not paying me back for something I did or didn't do. He's bringing me back for what I can and will do in the future. This is God's plan, not mine. How can I not carry his message of love and hope to others who are as hopeless and forsaken as I once believed that I was? Christ has provided me with peace. How can I not share that peace with others who are in need? Bringing the hope to the hopeless and oppressed. Look at the life of Peter in Matthew 16:8. Jesus states, this is King James Version, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's an apostle of Jesus who authored two books in the New Testament, later designated as the first pope of the Catholic Church. But his life, Peter's life in the Bible, is full of failure and despair. Yet he persevered. He continued in his Christian faith, becoming the rock which Jesus foretold. Matthew 14 describes how Peter failed to walk on the water. And Christ rebuked him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" as he sinks into the sea. In Luke 22:31, Christ prays that Peter's faith not fail, and Peter vows his allegiance unto death. And yet Christ predicts Peter's denial of him three times. And in Luke 21:51 and Mark 14:47, Christ at his preordained betrayal in the garden, Peter, having fallen asleep three times, instead of praying, uses his sword to cut off the ear of a servant of the high priest, and then Christ heals that ear. And then, of course, Peter denies Christ three times, Luke 22, and upon realizing the truth in despair, wept bitterly. The story of Peter and his failures and despair demonstrates there's always hope. We never give up on ourselves or others within our community, within our church, throughout. Our failures in life do not define us. They make us stronger in discovering and achieving our Christian faith. From these desperate beginnings, Peter went on to accept the Great Commission, Matthew 28:16-20, and became the rock upon which Jesus founded the church. My father told me, my mother and father gave me a lot of advice as a kid, I guess. Mom told me, if you can't be good, be careful. So I was careful. But my father told me that I didn't have to live my life like a country song. That was one of the two or three things he told me. And sometimes I wish that I hadn't, but I'm still grateful that I did. We'll do a song at the end today, even though we haven't really practiced it much, but we'll do the best we can. And I want to thank you. Thank you, Pastor Rich and the board, for asking me to share today. I appreciate it. God bless you.
Thanks. Thanks. So you guys are going to do that song at the end after communion and all that? Or are you going to do it right? Or are you going to do it right now? Do it right now. Yeah. Good. I want to hear it. Yeah. I mean, I heard it on YouTube. I haven't heard it. You guys singing it. So, yeah. I've known Mitch now for a few years. I've known his story. But then there are still parts of it that as he's sharing, I'm like, oh, man, I missed that part. All of us have so many ways that God has shown us his love, his grace, the ways that we can look back and see that, like, oh, man, I wasn't following you at the time, Jesus, but you were watching out for me, weren't you? And ways that God has gotten us through all kinds of things to get us to where we are today. And it's a good thing when we can be open to God's help, open to God's grace, open to his love, so that we can then find ourselves changed. God's love is a transforming love. I know some of you only know Mitch as the attorney, the defense attorney, as the founder of Respite House and Daybreak Shelter, all the others. Some of you only know him as that, and you don't know what God's brought him through to get him to that point. So God is good. So yeah, go ahead, sing.
An old hand to live, making his way.
Smelled like old whiskey and he needed a shave. His home was an
give to your brother and he is in need. Offer up thanks for the gifts you receive. There's treasure in heaven for the generous few. That was the gospel according to me.
Thanks, guys. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. Oh, thank you, God, for the ways that your love encounters us, sometimes in unexpected ways, sometimes through unexpected people. God, I remember that part of Mitch's story where he mentioned that your disciples never gave up on him. God, your grace flows into our lives through people. We thank you for the people you've placed in our lives who've been changed by your love and as a result, have been used by you to love us. God, we pray that you would do the same in our hearts and lives. That you'd help us to center our lives around you and your love for us so that we can be used by you to love others. Thank you, God. We know what love is because you've shown it to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. That's why we're grateful, Jesus, that you gave us this sacrament of Holy Communion. We pray that as we offer you today these simple gifts of bread and juice, we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, it'd be more than just a little religious ritual with some bread and grape juice, but that you might make these for us today, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we might encounter you at your table, all of your grace, all of your love. Jesus, you took bread and broke it, gave it to your disciples, said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. You took the cup and said, this is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This seals the new agreement, the new covenant between God and humanity. Drink this in remembrance of me. And so today, as we prepare to approach you at your table, we do remember the great love that you have for ordinary, messed up people like us, that you would come to us in our darkness to shine your light, that you would come to us dead in our trespasses and sins to give us your life. You took our sin on yourself, Lord Jesus, and by your death on that cross and your resurrection, your emergence from that grave, you defeated the powers of sin and death and the devil, and you set us free. We don't have to live as slaves to sin anymore. Our past failures do not need to define us. We can be known. We can know ourselves and be known by others by your love, the transforming power of your love for us. Thank you, God. As we offer ourselves to you today, we acknowledge our need of your grace. That we've not always loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. There might be all kinds of ways that we have messed up these lives that you've given us, the relationships we have with others, the world you've entrusted to us. God, we confess it to you today. We agree with you. You are right. Help us to turn from those sinful attitudes, actions, habits, to turn toward you and to receive today the forgiveness that you promise in Scripture, that if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Help us today to know the cleansing of your grace, the power of your love. Fill us with the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. Change us from the inside out that we might live in this world as the body of Christ as your hands and feet. We pray all this confident in your love for us, because you've shown it to us in Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to celebrate communion together. The musicians are going to lead us in one last song. I'll be here with bread and juice. As we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. It's open to all of us who are hungry for God's grace and grateful for his love. So let's celebrate.
If it's bandaging the broken, or washing filthy feet, here I am, Lord, send me. If it's loving one another, even when we don't agree, here I am, Lord, send me.
Amen. Thank you again, God, for the transforming love that you have for each and every one of us. Again, I pray, fill us with the Spirit of Christ. Change us by your love from the inside out so that we might live in this world as the body of Christ. So that we might be those whose love never fails, whose love perseveres, continues to hope for those you continue to love. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.